our title, the 70 weeks, we're going to look at the four beasts. We're going to look at the ram and the goat. That's the four beasts are chapter 7. The ram and the goat are chapter 8. And then we're going to look at the 70 weeks, which is really important. So let's look first at these four beasts. You could put up the next. There we go. That's chapter 7. So chapter 7, verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling us the main facts. So the first year of Belshazzar, here we see Belshazzar in his very first reign, or first year of his reign. Chapter 5 describes that handwriting on the wall. You guys remember that, chapter 5? We know that chapter 5 goes into the end of Babylon and then the death of this very Belshazzar. So the book of Daniel is not necessarily in chronological order. It flips around a little bit during this time. Chapter 8 is about the same thing. The book of Daniel, it's not in historical order. So we're back in time. Daniel receives the vision dream at the beginning of Belshazzar's reign. It doesn't seem like Belshazzar had a lot of interaction with Daniel, not like Nebuchadnezzar. It's different. So verse 2, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts came out of the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. I watched till the wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That's a brief description of Nebuchadnezzar in his kingdom of Babylon. And suddenly, another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said to it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, I have to apologize for the graphics. I didn't do that. I stole it off of somebody. But it helps explain exactly what we're talking about. So here, you have the Mede-Persian Empire. Remember, a confederation of two empires, the Medes and the Persians. Notice in verse 5, it's raised up on one side. You notice that? The Persian Empire eventually rises above the Mede Empire and dominates that bear raised up on its side. That's what it's speaking about. Those 3 ribs historically are Babylon. Those are 3 empires it conquered, the Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. That's pretty much recognized, those large empires that the Mede-Persian Empire took over. Verse 6, it says, after I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, and had it on his back 4 wings of a bird. The beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, Daniel 6 describes a leopard with the 4 wings, symbolizing the great and very powerful Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. Here's the imagery, if you look at it when you look at verse 6, is that the leopard is speed. Alexander's conquests were astonishingly fast. I mean, he just rolled over all of Asia. He defeated Persia, reached India in about a decade. Then you have the 4 wings, extraordinary swiftness. The double wings emphasize how rapidly he expanded the empire. It just went from the small Greek Empire to take over the Mede-Persian Empire, and just went all the way to India. That's further than most other kingdoms ever happened. So Alexander the Great, he died in Babylon. Specifically, he died in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. That's an interesting thing. And between the evening of June 10th and June 11th in 323 BC, I think pneumonia or something like that. We really don't know what it was, but out of the blue, total health, total incredible coverage of an empire, and he just died. He just died that simple. The four heads, you see, we got the four over there, all right? The four heads equals the four kingdoms after his death. It's kind of interesting, when Alexander died at the age of 32, he was only 32 years old, his empire split into four parts, ruled by his four generals. And the generals, the four generals came to him on his dying bed. He said, well, who do you leave the kingdom to? He says, to the strongest, to the strongest. That's what he said. So we're going to talk much more about these four generals in chapter 10 and 11, and maybe into 12. So Daniel 7:6 predicts 300 years before into the future, the rise of Alexander the Great, fast-moving Greek Empire, and later that division between his four generals, exactly what history records. I think it was Jim that asked about chapter 10, and we're going to see the actual history. We're going to be able to go back and see all of that history. Cleopatra's involved in that, different things, different nations that we'll bring up. So look at verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking into pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, this is the Roman Empire, but also more than Rome, it is Rome in the final world empire. Well, it's split up. This is, so what makes the beast different than all the other ones? If you look at it, well, it's unmatched brutality. Rome was pretty brutal in conquering the world. Far more violent and crushing than the empires before. It had iron strength, symbolizing Rome's military, its governmental power. It had total dominion. It devours, it breaks, it tramples everything. And then the future phase, the 10 horns, that is yet to be seen. We have not seen that yet. The 10 horns point to a final end times kingdom beyond ancient Rome, but it comes out of the Roman Empire. It comes out of the Roman Empire. You know, we think that the Roman Empire doesn't exist today, but a lot of our laws today, even our own constitution and different things, comes out of that. It's Rome is still around in Europe and in the even into the Middle East a bit. So Daniel 8, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there is in this horn were eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. Now this is something that has not happened yet. This is the kingdom of the Antichrist. Remember the days of those 10 toes, the kingdom of God will be set up on planet Earth. The millennial kingdom will be set up. So in verse 9, he says, I watched till the thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. So in the days of those 10 toes, the ancient Jesus Christ is going to be set up as king over his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. So I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. And I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. It's a man. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning fire. We're going to see that actually in Revelation chapter 19, the Antichrist. So we're going to talk a lot more about the Antichrist probably next week and into Revelation itself. So you got the four beasts, not too difficult to understand, the four kingdoms. the our concern is that last kingdom of Rome, that there's going to be an extension of that. It's going to skip a couple thousand years or more. We don't know exactly when that is going to happen. We know that the Antichrist is future, and we'll see some of that even in chapter 8 and 9. So we get into chapter 9, the ram and the goat. I don't know, did I put up, what's the next one? No, go back. Go back. Yeah, I thought I had something for that. So chapter 8, verse 1. Like I said, I feel like a history teacher, right? I had a couple good history teachers in high school, though. They talked about some of these different things about the Roman Empire. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared me the first time. So now we're two or three years later on. Belshazzar still in power. The Persian Empire has not conquered Babylon yet. So Daniel receives a vision concerning the Mede-Persian battles between Greece with Alexander the Great. So this particular chapter is about the ram, which would be the Mede-Persian Empire, and the goat, which would be Alexander the Great. It's kind of interesting that God uses animals or different beasts or whatever to proclaim his prophecies. Daniel 8 presents a dual layer prophecy. This is important to understand. So what a dual layer prophecy is, something that happens in the past but foreshadows something in the future. You could go back to Psalm 22 and see that there's a prophecy about Jesus, about being on the cross and different things. And that was maybe something that was related to even David at the time, some different things, not exactly, but you'll have something in the past, but it's going to happen again in the future. Matter of fact, we're going to look at this Antiochus this morning, who resembles in a lot of ways the Antichrist, what he's going to do in the latter days. So Daniel presents this dual layer prophecy. And here we have the ram, that Mede-Persian Empire, and the goat, the Greeks under Alexander. They're warring against each other. A very precise prediction of Greece's division into the four kingdoms after Alexander's death. Now, from one of Alexander's general rises Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay, he comes out of one of those. I don't know if it's the Seleucus or the Ptolemies. We can look at that next week. But he rises from those four generals. Eventually, they grow little kingdoms, and he rises from that. So his whole thing back then, and this would be in probably the second century BC, his whole thing is that he attacks Israel, he stops the temple worships going on in Israel, and commits a desecration. What he does is this Epiphanes replaces God's altar in the temple. The temple is going on, and with a pagan altar of Zeus. And then he sacrifices a pig on that altar. So it's a great desecration. Matter of fact, there's some, Israel actually rises up during that time for a short period, has its own independence. So Revelation shows the final abomination of desolation when the Antichrist sets up an image of himself. And listen to this, because who would have ever thought he gives it power to speak. I don't know, you know, a lot of AI stuff going on today, so we don't know how this is going to work. But Revelation shows the final abomination of desolation and that's the one Jesus predicted would go forward. He sets up an image of himself, gives power to speak, and forces the world to worship it under the penalty of death. That's what we'll explore in Revelation. So Daniel 8, therefore, he reveals this dual prophecy, because we're going to see later on, and especially in chapter 10 and 11 next week, we're going to see the wars of those two generals back and forth, and we're going to see this Antiochus Epiphanes in that. So it reveals the full history and the prophetic preview of the end times conflict at the end of that matter. So far you've got the ram and the goat, and then you have the Babylonian in chapter 7 with the other kingdoms. Then you have the ram and the goat. But I want to spend a little bit more time on chapter 9. You can put that next frame up there for that. This is the 70 weeks of Daniel. And we really have to get to this. It's the most important timeline in the Bible. It explains everything that's going to happen to Israel in the future. We call it the 70 weeks of Daniel. First, a little side note. If you think about that, Daniel has been in captivity for almost 70 years. He's in the land of Babylon, and he's now under the Persians. He recognizes, Jeremiah the prophet said, look, you guys are going to go into captivity for 70 years. Did you ever ask why the 70 years? Why is it not 80 years or 60 years? Why 70 years? Israel's 70 years of Babylon was a direct result of violating God's command to let the land lay every seventh year. No farming. For 6 years, Israel could sow, they could prune, they could harvest normally. But in the 70th year, or the seventh year, they were forbidden to plant, prune, or harvest for profit. The land was to rest for that seventh year. You go 6 years, you go 1 year off. And that's really good for the land. Obviously, a lot of farmers even do it around here. You see them rest the land for a year. So whatever grows on its own is not to be harvested commercially. You're there to give it to the poor. You could eat as needed. You could take from the field. You could do that. But you weren't supposed to plant. So now let's go back in history with, you know, you get into Joshua. They get into the land. For 490 years, the nation ignored the Sabbath year law. And they accumulated 70 missed Sabbaths. That's what it was. They accumulated those 70 missed Sabbaths. That was part of the law they were supposed to do. So God therefore decreed that the land would enjoy those 70 years by judgment, taking Israel into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. Pretty simple. You understand that? You can go back and read it, and you'll understand it. So 70 years repaid the lost Sabbaths. That's basically what it is. God said, you are going to let the land rest, and you're going to let it rest for 70 years while you guys are in another country. So now Daniel goes into prayer. He's recognizing those 70 years are just about up. He's recognizing Jeremiah as a prophet. He's recognizing the prophecies in 2 Chronicles, recognizing the prophecies in Jeremiah itself. He goes into prayer because it draws him back to realize we really messed up. We were really sinners. We didn't obey the law of God. We got into idolatry. 70 years, the punishment for disobeying God. Now, Daniel goes into prayer. He repents for the sins of Israel in the past. He's humbly, Lord, it's not according to that we did anything good. It's according to your mercies that you even care about Israel, But think about this. Daniel is worried because this is what's on Daniel's mind. And God is seeing this. He's going to send Gabriel to straighten out some stuff for Daniel. Daniel's worried about, okay, what's going to happen after the 70 years are up? What's going to happen to us? is there going to be more judgment? Is there going to be, you know, is, I think the real question here Daniel is looking at is God still with Israel? Is God still with Israel? That's a big question today with a lot of the churches saying that God is not with Israel anymore, that Israel is in the land of its own volition. It's not have anything to do with prophecy. Well, we totally disagree with that. God still cares about Israel. God's got seven more years that he's going to deal with Israel very specifically. He's brought them into the land in 1948. Is God still with us? I think this is a really good question. We probably need that when we're chastised, when God has chastised our lives. Is God still with us? And look at verse 18. He says, "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. We do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Oh Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people," it's kind of interesting. We never see Daniel really fall into sin, but he knows his heart. We are all sinners, even Daniel. "While I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God." So his supplications, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel," well, we know he's an angel, "whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'Oh, Daniel, I have come now forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out.'" So Daniel is praying, asking the Lord. "The very beginning, the command went out, 'I have come to tell you, and you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision.'" And here's what is Daniel asking? What's going to happen to Israel? That's what he's asking in this. And verse 24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. So for Israel and for Jerusalem. That's what Gabriel is making clear to him. And here's what he says: "To finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy." Now remember, he's thinking in terms of Israel itself. He's thinking in terms of the nation of Israel. Though a lot of this passes on to us. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem," which Cyrus the king is going to do that. I'll give you even a date on it in a minute. "Until the Messiah, and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times." And we see that in the book of Ezra. We see that in the book of Nehemiah. "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off." It's interesting that means he will be killed. That's what that means. "The Messiah shall be killed, but not for himself." That's for us. He's going to be put to death for our sins. "There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come," that's Rome. Very simply, it's Rome, because it gives us the prophecy. "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." 70 AD, Rome comes in and wipes out Jerusalem, wipes out Israel. until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And that's from the time that happened in 70 AD till even modern times, until 1948, and even into 1948, they're surrounded by all these Arab nations that have given them nothing but trouble all of these years. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. So we have these 69 weeks. Actually, 69 that we'll get into, that's 483 years. I'll show you exactly how that works. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Let's break it down a little bit. It sounds a little difficult to understand, but it's really not that difficult. We can confirm a lot of this with history from the time that Jerusalem was to be built again till the time of the Messiah. Actually fits exactly 69 weeks to the day, to the very day. So a lot of this we can confirm by history. So let's break it down. Daniel 9:18 and 19, that's Daniel's prayer. It's a simple prayer. Daniel cries out for mercy, not because Israel deserves it, but because God is compassionate. That's why he's praying. Then he asked God to see Jerusalem, asked God to look at Jerusalem's desolation, forgive the nation, and to act quickly for his own name's sake. Then you got verses 20 through 23 in Daniel 9. Gabriel sent to him. Gabriel is, we've seen him in the beginning of the book of Daniel. We see him in the beginning of Matthew, and where he's sent to Mary and Joseph. So while Daniel is still praying, Gabriel arrives and tells him he's greatly loved. I always like that. Gabriel explains that God has sent him to give Daniel understanding about Israel's future. That's how simple it is. And to answer his prayer. So if you look at 9:24, the purpose of the 70 weeks is God reveals a total timeline of Israel, what's going to happen to Israel. The purpose of the 70 weeks is a prophetic timeline for Israel. And it includes in the very beginning that there's 69 of those weeks have already been fulfilled. There's only 1 week left, that 7-year tribulation that we'll talk about in Revelation. The purpose of the 70 weeks is to reveal a timeline, and that 69 week is to finish the transgressions, to end sin, atone for wickedness, bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Those are the six things that he mentions in there. So God's six purposes for the 70 week show his complete plan to deal with Israel's sin and to bring in the final kingdom. So God is not through with Israel. That's so important to remember. There's so much out there today. Yeah, Israel, they've sinned. And they have. They have. They rejected, when you think about it, they rejected the law of God and they disobeyed on the Sabbaths of the land, and God sent them in for 70 years. Well, when they rejected the Messiah and put him to death, it's been 2,000 years that they've been in captivity all over the world. So those six purposes, God is not through with Israel. He says to finish the transgressions or to end sin. God, it means God will bring Israel's rebellion to an end. There's some point that he's going to bring that Paul says in Romans chapter 11, all Israel will be saved. And I'm not saying every person in Israel is going to be saved, but Israel itself is going to be saved. That was God's plan from the very beginning, is to take a nation, to rise them up, that they would glorify God. So to atone for wickedness points to Jesus Christ's sacrifice that provides true cleansing of sin, true cleansing of sin. To bring everlasting righteousness looks to the future kingdom when righteousness permanently for 1,000 years fills this earth. We call it the millennial reign of Christ. To seal up the prophecy means God's going to fulfill everything in the book and fulfill and complete every prophetic revelation that he has given Daniel, but the whole book. Not one jot or tittle is going to be left from the book of God. He's going to fulfill it all. Everything he says in the Bible, all the promises, all the judgments, all of that stuff is going to happen, and it's going to be totally fulfilled. To anoint the most holy refers to the consecration, when you think about it, when Jesus Christ is set up in the millennial kingdom, the millennial temple in Israel at the time. We'll see a lot of that in the book of Revelation. So if you look at it together, these six goals, it outlines God's full redemptive plan for Israel, but for the whole world too. That his redemptive plan. That he just revealed everything to Daniel that, wow, he's got everything. That's the whole timeline. Now, this shows God's long-range plan for Israel, for its restoration, the coming of the Messiah. I get really excited when I think about Israel is in the land right now. 1948, they've been in the land. We don't know when the last 7 years is going to kick off. We have no idea. It could be 1,000 years and God would not have lied. It could be next week and God would not have lied. Together, these six goals outline the full redemptive plan for Israel and for all of us. This shows God's long-range plan for the restoration of Israel, because that's why he brought them into the land, that they would be a nation set aside to him. When they brought him in, after Moses' death, Joshua brings them in. The plan was to have a nation that would glorify God and teach the rest of the world about the true God. That was his plan. He's going to do it, though. He's going to do it, and it's going to be in the latter days. So look at verse 25, the first 69 weeks. So we know for a fact that the 69 weeks is, each week is, if you got to measure, you got to do this times seven. That's what you do. He says weeks, but it means years. If you multiply 69 times seven, you get 483 years. So he says, from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the prince, there's going to be 7 weeks. That's the 49 years of rebuilding Jerusalem, 62 weeks or 79 weeks total. Now, that's an exact fulfillment. Cyrus gave that. Actually, I think it was his, I'm trying to think of his name. Was it? Artaxerxes, thank you. Artaxerxes gave the command to do that on March 14th, 445 BC. And if you take that, it's exactly 173,880 days. Exactly. You got to go by the Hebrew calendar, 360 days in the year. To April 6th, 32 AD, you guys know what happened then? Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey for the first time, allowing the nation of Israel to proclaim him king to the very day, not to a couple weeks off, but to the very day. And you could go back in history and you can get on, there's calculators on the internet that you can actually precisely, exactly to the day, 173,880 days, Jesus Christ came in as Messiah the Prince. And that's why the triumphal entry is the moment Jesus, he actually for the first time publicly proclaimed him king. And they, remember the Pharisees? Stop them from doing, hey, if I stop them, the stones itself are going to speak out. You cannot mess with God's prophecy. You cannot. I mean, it's there and it's solid. So, fulfilling Daniel 25 to the exact day, Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt, but in troubled times, and we know that it happened. Verse 26, the Messiah is going to be cut off. That's the crucifixion. Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed by the people of the prince to come, who is Rome. That was fulfilled in 70 AD. And then desolations are going to continue to the end. So far, it's been about 2,000 years. So you got 69 sevens, right? But he said 70 sevens are determined on your people. So you have that one seven-year last. We call it the tribulation. We call it the tribulation. If anybody ever asks you, why is it 7 years? And this is why, that it's that last remaining prophetic time that God is going to deal with Israel. Remember, this was to your people, Israel. It was to that. Now, fortunately, maybe unfortunately for the rest of the world, that's going to be a time of pure hell. It's going to be a horrible time. We're going to see in the book of Revelation, it's split up into 3.5 years or 42 months or 1260 days. It's going to be split up into two halves in the book of Revelation. But it's going to be, and the great tribulation that Jesus spoke about is going to be the moment that the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple and proclaims himself to be God, that the wrath of God is going to be poured out like no other time in history. And for 3.5 years, he's going to consume that kingdom. So the final week, that last 7 years, the last week, that's going to involve, interesting, this is a future Antichrist, one that, a great pompous words, great pompous words. He's going to speak very evil of, but he's going to, the future Antichrist, going to make some kind of covenant. He's going to make some kind of covenant. Halfway through, he's going to break that covenant. Stopping the sacrifices, a future temple has to be built. Think about that. People say, oh, no, there's not going to be a temple. The temple has to be built for these things to happen. That's going to set up the final abomination of desolation and judgment falling until the decreed end, that great tribulation. And we'll see eventually the end of the Antichrist's kingdom where he's thrown into the lake of fire with the false prophet. We'll see that in Revelation. You guys got all this or what? It's not really terribly difficult. It's and you could go back and check my words and check these dates that I've shown you, or the amount of days. That's all been pretty much documented all over. There's some wonderful good things on the internet. There's some wonderfully bad things on the internet, but there's a lot of false teachers on the internet, but there's some good teachers. There's some really good teachers. Jack Hibbs is a great teacher. Chuck Smith is a great teacher. You know, I'm from the Calvary background, so I'm going to lean that way. But that final week aligns with Jesus's teaching in Matthew 24 and the end times events in Revelation we're going to see in detail in a couple weeks. So we've been talking about the Daniel 70th week. We looked at those four beasts in chapter 7. We looked at the ram and the goat, the Mede-Persian, and the Greek Empire, and then the 70th weeks. Next week, we're going to conclude the summary. Read the last three chapters. I know some of that is even, if I didn't have a history book, I could never figure out half that stuff. But people have decoded it to the T, exactly. Chapter 10 is all decoded really good, and it is a lot to think about. And even back then, you know, Daniel said, after all these things, I was sick to my stomach. And Daniel, he didn't understand any of it. It was going to happen 300 years in the future and beyond that. So he didn't understand any of it. So we're going to conclude. So read the last three chapters. We'll try and put all of this into order next week. You know, whenever I read these chapters, I recognize that God has all things together. There's nothing that's out of his sight. Nothing out of his sight. Do you know that he knows exactly what's in your sight? What's your future? I think that that's something all of us think about. We're like Daniel. Well, what's going to happen to me, Lord? What's going to happen to me? And it's God was able to answer through Gabriel a very detailed plan of what he... But the overall plan was Israel still alive and kicking. That's what Daniel wanted to hear, is that, you know, because in a few years, Daniel was going to be gone.